It's Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. Right now, I get to turn to an author whose book I admire so much. I am just really honored that he is on the program for many reasons. But we'll start with his newest book. And I want to thank Dan Hampton for joining me today. Dan Hampton has written a book called Valor, the astonishing World War II saga of one man's defiance and indomitable spirit. It is a marvelous book. I am so happy to welcome you to the program, Dan.
Well, good morning, Patsy with a Z, and thanks for the invitation.
Wow. There are many reasons why I love your writing. I'll talk about your other books after we talk about this one. This is, of course, your latest book. It is so, well, it's really difficult for me not to start crying, because when I started the book, I got so emotional. You write so beautifully. You know, a historian always has this challenge to make the period come alive and make the characters resonate with the reader. And you certainly have done that with this book. Your writing is just beautiful.
Well, thanks. That's about the nicest compliment I've had in a while. I appreciate that. And you're exactly right. History is fascinating to me, but I understand why some people find it dry and uninspiring, which is, as you said, probably the biggest challenge with this is to make it come alive, because if people can get involved in it, then maybe they'll learn something from it and appreciate some of the sacrifices, in this case, Bill Harris made.
Well, it's far from dry, and I can tell you, my eyes weren't dry when I read this. I was taken with this book in a way that, for reasons that also are personal, it meant so much to me. First of all, I love the opening where you say, you have a quote there, "In valor, there is hope." Lately, with the war in Ukraine and all the things that happened to our American soldiers in Afghanistan, in Iraq, we do have people who show valor. So I was taken with that. And then when I started the prologue, and I get tears in my eyes even as I read it, you take us there. You take us, you've picked just the right people to tell the story and to see it through their eyes, whether it starts, you know, with the nun dancing. I just got so involved with the book. I was crying in a lot of the places. I was smiling in others because I thought, this is something to be so proud of. Tell us this story and also how you came across this story.
Well, I don't want to give the book away.
No. Don't give the ending away, because not knowing what's going to happen, I think, is part of, well, it's always the reveal. It's just like a novel. A great novel, you have that reveal. You don't know what's going to happen. I mean, we know there's going to be problems. And boy, oh boy, he faces problems. But yes, but tell us about this marvelous person that you discovered and how Lieutenant William Frederick Bill Harris has impacted not just this book, but your life.
Well, I came across Bill when I was writing the book that was released before this called Vengeance. And it took place largely on Guadalcanal, and there was a Marine general there named Field Harris, who turns out to be Bill's father. And I was intrigued because in digging about a little bit, I found out that he had a son who was also a Marine officer in the Pacific. And, you know, brothers who fight together or fathers and sons, you know, it's always sort of intriguing to me. And I made a note of it, and then when Vengeance came out and was released, and they said, well, what else have you got? I said, well, what about this? And when I dug into Bill's story and what, you know, what he did and then eventually what happened, I was even more intrigued, and I was infinitely, I can't even tell you how much of a difference this made. I got a hold of his daughter, and we worked together a little bit on this because she gave me his 1,500-page manuscript that he'd written after the war as, no doubt, therapy. You know, we all deal with combat in different ways. His way was to write, and he wrote down everything that had happened to him. So all the thoughts in there that are ascribed to him, all the dialogue and everything, came right out of his manuscript. So you really are talking and listening to and feeling with and enduring with Bill Harris throughout this book, which as an author was just a godsend.
There were so many people that you were able to talk to who went through this and who had these personal stories. Funny for me, the woman who lives in the condo just above me, she was in the Philippines at that time. She is now 100 years old, and she went through that. Her husband was in the military. So I'd already been very cognizant of what was going on in that period, in that time. And that's why when I read the book, I'm really crying because you bring it to life. I was just amazed at it.
Well, again, that's very gracious of you to say. The manuscript certainly was a tremendous help. I had the benefit also of having seen a lot of these places. And, you know, there's an old cliche, a writer has to write about what he knows, and that's not always true, but it helps if you're writing nonfiction and historical books, because if you can describe these places from your own memories as well as, you know, whomever you're writing about, it really helps. And the fact that, I mean, I never went through what Bill went through, but I've seen enough combat to know how that feels and smells and looks in a lot of ways. And I know what it's like to be so hungry that you'd eat about anything in front of you, and so tired all you want to do is sleep. So when Bill got to those places in his own manuscript where he was talking about that, I could empathize with it, and I think that showed through in the writing, because I could put that in. I could add in a perspective that somebody who hadn't been through some of that himself wouldn't have.
So tell us the beginning, where when you first introduced Bill to the listener, to the my listener, to the readers. Tell us about that, because I was really moved. You wrote about his mother.
Well, right, and like you mentioned, I mean, I think it's important to add as many different perspectives without becoming confusing as you can to a book. So that's why I was able to blend in not only Bill's point of view, but what his father was feeling through his letters and other things that I had, and also his mother. You know, what was it like to be on the home front in America in 1942? That's why I put, you know, a lot of those interesting tidbits in there. And besides, you know, you don't want the book to be too dark. And some of those things were kind of amusing, and some of it's very interesting to those of us that obviously didn't live through that. So I tried to put that in as much as I could. And in the beginning of the book, you know, he is on the Philippines, or in the Philippines. He's part of the 4th Marine Regiment that had come in from China. And he's there when Pearl Harbor happens. He's there when the Philippines are attacked. He's there when, you know, the Marines are basically moved down to defend Corregidor if Bataan fell, which is exactly what happened. So he saw it all, you know, from day one. He was in this, and he was in it for the next 3.5 years, which is an amazing story.
It is. Of course, one of the places that if young people today know anything about World War II, I think that is like one of the few names they might recognize, knowing that in Iwo Jima, what went on there.
And that is one reason why I continue to write, you know, nonfiction military history to a large degree, is because I think we owe it to those folks that suffered so much. And you're right, you know, a lot of the younger generation doesn't know about it. It's not that they don't care, but they probably weren't taught, you know, much of this. And it's interesting that with what's going on in the Ukraine among the millennials and so forth, there seems to be a rising interest in this. And it's more of, how come I was never taught anything about this? And where does this all come from? Why is Russia attacking the Ukraine? And so that eventually leads them back to, you know, World War II and the formation of the Soviet Union before that. And they're actually discovering things about history that they should have been taught in school, which is what I hope happens with this book, is that they realize, hey, I wasn't ever taught this. I'm going to find out about it. It's very interesting, and these people deserve to be remembered.
Exactly. I homeschooled my boys, so we did a great deal of history. It helped to put the whole world in perspective. One of the things that just struck me right from the minute I started reading the book was about generals sometimes don't know what the heck they're doing.
Well, that's very true. And, you know, it's easy to judge their decisions with hindsight. I was, I think, justifiably harsh on Doug MacArthur, which is probably what you're alluding to.
Yes.
But I think he deserves every spear I can throw at him, not because he didn't know what to do originally or not because he wasn't the best general in the world, but because he ran out and left his men on the Philippines, you know, and he left poor General Wainwright holding the bag. And as a former military officer, that's just appalling to me. It would never have occurred to me to leave my guys anywhere, especially to run off to the, you know, the Menzies Hotel in Melbourne, Australia, while they're fighting and dying on Corregidor. That's true. And but see, the good thing about a good general or a good officer is that you will adapt to the situation. You can't know everything. You're supposed to make life and death decisions with imperfect information, which is something most civilians just can't fathom. But, I mean, we do it all the time. We do it every day. And it's, you know, that's the essence of what makes a good officer and a good general. And there were some good ones and there were some bad ones. MacArthur happened to be a bad one.
Well, you know, one of the things that I think... You're right. Now this generation will perhaps, I hope at least, start taking this interest in history and start understanding where in the heck these wars are coming from. We went through this thing with Afghanistan that still shocks me every time I think about whoever made the decisions not to protect everything there. I think now looking at a book like this, where you're talking about valor, and hopefully people start reading this book, it's going to make a wonderful Father's Day gift. I think anybody who is looking for a gift for Father's Day, a book like this, because it, as you said, it's not so dark that it's depressing. He went through hell, but on the other hand, you've made it into a real story so that we have all of this reveals just like a great thriller writer. And I hope that, you know, this book will be given really for Father's Day to a lot of fathers out there who will appreciate it.
Well, thanks. And I think there is enough other non-war related items in there that would interest maybe anybody. I think the point of view of Bill's mother and his future wife, you know, as they were living through this, is also quite interesting. Things that they could do, they couldn't do, frustrations that they had. I always am intrigued by the backstory for a lot of these, you know, larger events. And what you said about, you know, people learning from this, I hope they do. I think the interest in World War II reflects the fact that that was probably the last black and white period we had in our history, right? I mean, good was good, bad was bad in this struggle. There was no question as to who was evil and who needed to be vanquished. And that had that sort of clarity, that not ambiguous, that sort of clarity has not been seen in this country since, really. You know, you could always argue the conflicts either way, certainly the ones that I was in. And I want people to realize that, and I want people to be proud of what this nation was, and I believe still is. I believe that strength that is in Bill Harris and the fortitude, the defiance, the resiliency that he showed, I believe that most Americans still have that. And if it was needed, it would show up again, and we would do what we had to do.
So many of our young people who sacrificed, and now, you know, we're looking at how we can help the veterans of Iraq and of Afghanistan. Yes, I hope that people will understand that we do have wonderful people like this. We have unbelievably brave people who really did sacrifice so much. And so many of them survived who wouldn't have survived in World War II. What I enjoyed also was the perspective how you looked at it through the Japanese pilot's eyes, how they looked at what they were about to attack. As all around, that's why I think this book is more than it's more than a nonfiction book. It's a thriller. It's a I don't know. We have a new category: a thrilling nonfiction book.
Well, thanks. That's also a very great compliment. Nonfiction, if it's not done right, can sometimes be, you know, sort of dull or more like a textbook. And I realize that, you know, if I want to get people to learn something about this, then it also has to be something that they want to read. And I am sure that Valor is. I think it's a good book. To be honest, I think it's probably the best one that I've written, and I'm profoundly grateful that I had the opportunity to do so.
Well, you've done a wonderful job with this book. As I said, it reads so nicely. You have dialogue that moves the story along. You talk a lot about the weapons, which I love. My husband, of course, was Israeli. In the Israeli Air Force, so I look at things a little bit differently from most people. I look at sort of things from the military point of view, and as a matter of fact, I want to mention, first of all, this book I think will make a wonderful, wonderful gift for Father's Day. It's called Valor, the Astonishing World War II Saga of One Man's Defiance and Indomitable Spirit, and it is a story of a 25-year-old, you know, we talk about 20-somethings, and here he is, a 20-something, Lieutenant William Frederick Bill Harris, and this book is just a great and wonderful read. But I also want to mention, you have another book that I love, and it is called The Hunter Killers. And I love this book. It means a great deal to me. I worked for a long time on a project, and I'm still working on it actually, called The Forgotten F-105 Warriors. And I've done a lot of work on it. We were very close to having a deal with one of the networks to do a series about the F-105 pilots, and of course about the Weasels, and I've had various pilots on the program talking about their life, including Colonel Leo Thorsness was on my program. He was one of my very first guests 7 years ago when I started the show, because I had worked with him on that project.
Yeah, that's. Thanks for mentioning that. That was a book very near to my heart, because that's largely what I did when I was a fighter pilot, was hunted down and killed surface-to-air missiles. It was a very dangerous, downright crazy profession, but I actually really enjoyed it. you're right. That's a great story, and if I can ever help with your project, please feel free to ask. I'd be happy to contribute whatever I could.
Well, you have to go to my I have a webpage called Forgotten F-105 Warriors. I did a sizzle reel. I've been working on this. One of the things that I focused on were, you know, as I was interviewing pilots, and I interviewed so many of the F-105 pilots at various events I went to, and just talking on the phone. Some of them have come to my home. I also focused on the ground crews. They went through hell as much as the pilots, because they loved the pilots so much. Every time a pilot took off, and they would wait for the planes to come back, and you know what they did in this Operation Rolling Thunder, sending the pilots day after day on the same route at the same time, and so many of them didn't come back, and so many of them landed up as prisoners in the Hanoi Hilton.
Yep, that's true. I'm glad I'm too young to have taken part of that. I'd like to think I'd have gone and done it anyway, which I would have, but I'm glad things had gotten better by the time I went into combat to kill surface-to-air missiles.
Yeah, because the stupidity of that, still, almost too much sometimes to handle. But that book, The Hunter Killers, it's great. It's wonderful. I hope that people will get the new book, Valor, The Astonishing World War II Saga of One Man's Defiance and Indomitable Spirit. You have a website?
No, I have a Facebook.
Facebook.
It's a Dan Hampton author.
Okay, well, Dan Hampton is the author of this wonderful book. All you have to do is type in Dan Hampton and Valor, the word Valor. It'll come up. Get this book. You will enjoy it as much as you will enjoy any thriller, and you have the extra bonus of knowing this is a real story, a real person. All of the heroes that you encounter in this book will make you feel better, really, will give you hope. And I think that's one of the important things, that we have to have hope. Sometimes this war, as we're looking at the Ukrainian war, I know people are going crazy, but as Tacitus said, in valor there is hope. And I'm glad you opened your book with that quote.
Well, thank you, and thanks again for the invitation. I'm happy to be a part of it anytime you wish.
Well, you know, as a matter of fact, perhaps around 4th of July you could come back, and we can talk about The Hunter Killers and some of your other books, because I would particularly love to talk about the Wild Weasels and about that whole story. And also, I'm going to have Robin Old's daughter on the program. She's been on before, and I wanted to talk to her. So perhaps you could be on the same program as Robin Old's daughter. How about that?
Oh, I'd love to. I know Christina. She's delightful. I'd be honored.
Okay.
Reach out, and I'll do it.
Okay, I will. Okay, thank you so much again. It was just a great honor to talk to you, and because I didn't get to talk about how what a hero you are too. So Dan Hampton, it's a wonderful book, and thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today.
My pleasure.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Wonderful book. Well, what it means to have courage. Anyway, Dan Hampton, get that book. Bye-bye now.